pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good afternoon, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio. Take no prisoners. I'm Vito. Our call-in number today and every Global Patriot day is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. I want to say hello to everyone out there in podcast land and also to Ducky Northwest. Hold your holy cannoli. Nice to see you. Hi, Guy Paisan. How you doing? And, of course, Joshua. I did not exercise yet today. And hello to Sue from New Mexico. So I hope everyone is doing well. It is Free Speech Friday. Take no prisoners. I hope all Global Patriots are doing well. And yes, I played a national anthem because there is one national anthem, and that is the Star Spangled Banner in the United States of America. But right out of the block, I have to address this right out of the block. From the Gateway Pundit today, okay, this morning, June 1st, out of the Gateway Pundit. Now, you want to talk about how outrageous things have gotten in the United States of America, how unpatriotic America has become. And sadly, this story out of our nation's capital, a children's choir was stopped mid-performance while singing the national anthem at the U.S. Capitol. Yeah, you heard that right. I mean, we're talking about patriotism. We're talking about the United States of America. We're talking about teaching our children, right? We're so concerned about what our children are learning, right? It's okay to teach children that they have two mommies, and it's okay to say that, son, you know, you're playing with dolls and you're a girl, and confuse the child. And then we have these children who step up. It doesn't matter what color, what race, what gender they are, but they're stepping up in the United States Capitol, the home of our U.S. government, the central part of our U.S. government. And the Capitol Police stopped this group who had previously received authorization to do so, stopped them in mid-performance singing the Star Spangled Banner, singing the national anthem. Now, I'm not sure if the Capitol Police and Nancy Pelosi and of course, the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, are going to be charging these children with insurrectionism. And since they were in the U.S. Capitol, I think AOC had to flee because she was in fear of her life because patriots were singing the Star Spangled Banner. Yes, I'm being a little bit sarcastic. In a shocking turn of events, the Rushing Brook Children's Choir was interrupted and stopped while singing the national anthem in Statuary Hall at the United States Capitol. And of course, we see our founding fathers' statues standing behind these children, these American children, these patriotic children. However, as their angelic voices filled the grand hall while singing the Star Spangled Banner with pride, Capitol Police rudely intervened, insisting that the children stop singing immediately. The abrupt interruption stunned the young performers, the choir director, and the assembled audience. Yeah, imagine American citizens peacefully assembling in the United States Capitol. The Capitol Police did not allow young children to finish the song and sought to explain to the choir director that singing the national anthem at the nation's capital is considered a form of protest. What? What? Huh? A form of protest? South Carolina Representative Russell Fry, Joe Wilson, and William Timmons were involved in granting the choir approval to enter the Capitol and had given their support to the performance. And probably, you know what, when you think about it now, it just hit me. I'm sure Democrats, okay, were melting in the House chambers there. It's like, just think about this. If you remember The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy pours a bucket of water on the Wicked Witch, and she starts melting. Maybe it's a good possibility that the destructive Democrats, the anti-American Democrats, were starting to melt when they heard such patriotism, such pride being sung in the United States Capitol. But get this action. We've been stopped in the middle of the Star Spangled Banner while here in the Capitol, even though we were approved for the concert, said Christina Chapman Heffernan. Certain Capitol Police said it might offend someone, cause issue. With respect, authority, we respect authority, but we should have been allowed to sing because of the multi-level approval we received already, got from three representatives, including Russell Fry, Joe Wilson, and William Timmons, she added. The visit and choir performance was all planned and approved, but it's possible that there was some type of permit or communication mix-up, said Matthew Lays. But can you imagine? Certain Capitol Police said it might offend someone. Might offend someone. Yeah, I don't know if Michael Byrd was in the Capitol. Hold your head. Did Michael Byrd shoot one of the kids? This is getting to be insane. I'm sorry. You're in the United States Capitol. You're in the center of America's government. We're talking about where our founders, okay, where they met, where they meet, where American law is debated and passed. They have this thing called the U.S. Constitution, and I know the Bill of Rights doesn't mean much to the Democrat Party, to the Uniparty, to the cabal in Washington, D.C. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, it doesn't say if you're offended by that speech. It doesn't say if you're offended by people peaceably assembling, prohibiting the abridging the freedom of speech or right of the people to peaceably assemble. In addition to that, they talked to the authoritarians, the children did, or the teachers did, to seek approval. But someone might be offended at children singing the national anthem in the United States Capitol. You know, let's confuse children with gender, you know, but don't sing, by God, don't sing the national anthem at the U.S. Capitol. South Carolina State House Representative Adam Morgan summed it up nicely. He said, the fact that our national anthem could ever be considered offensive in our nation's capital is a stinging reminder of the challenges we face as a republic. Absolutely brilliantly stated. God help us, I'll tell you. And speaking of God, you know, it's Friday, and I always like to read from the good book, Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19, titled The Wicked Man. Verse number 12, the wicked man, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. 13, he winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. 14, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. 17, a proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, like Afghanistan. 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. 19, a false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. These past couple of days, the wicked man Joe Biden, as described by God, by the word of God, really came to fruition, didn't it? Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Yes, Joe Biden and his handlers, actually Joe Biden's handlers, let him out of the basement for a couple of hours the other day to speak at the U.S. Air Force Academy graduation ceremonies in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And as the Proverbs 6, the wicked man describes in verse 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. And boy, did it come suddenly. After Biden was done yelling his brains out about diversity, and of course he was pointing his fingers, and let's see, verse 13, he winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers, and here is Dementia Joe, you know, pointing his fingers and yelling about diversity during his commencement speech. To cadets. He was leaving the podium once he was done yelling, and he fell flat on his face, hitting his head. Yeah, he tripped. And I couldn't help but think of verse number 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. And once again, you know, the dementia in chief trips over some sandbags that were by the podium. At least that was the excuse, okay? And he falls flat on his face. You know, and then to make even matters worse, okay, so while Dementia Joe was exiting Marine One after a couple of hours after his speech yelling in Colorado, he's exiting Marine One, and he bumps his head on the door frame of Marine One. Now, look, is it funny? Yes, it is. Is it sad? Yes, it is. Joe Biden is not well. His handlers put him in there for one reason, and that was to undo everything President Trump did. It was to help systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. But he's not a well man. This guy has access to the nuclear codes. This guy is making decisions that should not be made. You know, I look back, and those of you who remember, you guys can remember, at least I could, about 48 years ago, there was a president by the name of Gerald Ford. And Gerald Ford was ridiculed. Gerald Ford was made fun of. Gerald Ford was demeaned for the three times that he fell. And he did trip and fall. Gerald Ford actually did play football for the University of Michigan, unlike, you know, Joe, who makes up stories about playing football. And maybe he was just trying to paraphrase or, I don't know, plagiarize President Ford. But the chronic display Joe Biden is showing with regards to his inability to walk up the stairs without tripping, tripping over items such as a podium and supposedly some sandbags, falling off of his bike. This chronic falling And the DNC complicit media is silent about Biden's health. Now, they were quick in 1975, and it just goes to show how progressive the media is and how much they are bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee, and how they protect Democrat Party members, including the dementia-riddled Joe Biden. And you can go back to 1975, okay, as the media coming off of Watergate was excoriating then-President Ford for tripping and falling. And today, the same media, of course, it's not the same individuals, but the same media has gotten even more progressive, and they continue to shield this frail old fraud, Joe Biden. His chronic tripping, his chronic falling, his chronic lies. I mean, in the same day, Biden wasn't done falling on the stage in Colorado Springs, but then he bangs his head exiting Marine One. Now, when he fell in Colorado Springs, he banged his head on the floor. Now, one would think it would knock some sense into some people, but you know, Joe has no sense. He has no dollars either. Joe, I'm just reading a whole. It's really sad what we're seeing here and how the establishment in Washington, D.C. protects and shields their own. And let's not make any bones that, you know, Joe Biden is a protected species in Washington, D.C. He's a member of the Senate Good Old Boys Club for life, and the Senate will rally around him. Now, there are a few outliers, and there are a lot of liars, though, in Washington, D.C., especially the United States Senate. But this man is not well. Not that Kamala Harris, Communist Kamala, would be any better, but, you know, Americans were duped by a dope, and we were duped by a system that has installed this individual who is not well. And we're watching him decline right in front of our eyes. And dementia and Alzheimer's is not fun. It's not funny. It's sad. It takes a toll on a family. It takes a toll on the individual. And this is no longer comical. This is dangerous. And yet this man is going to be propped up to run for re-election. And he will probably win, by the way, because, you know, the Democrat Party has perfected cheating. The establishment has perfected the cheating aspect of things. But this should not go on any longer. This is worse than Gerald Ford's tripping and falling. Because it's not just about tripping and falling, it's the lying. It's losing your track, losing your train of thought in the middle of a sentence. Yeah, and I guess AOC has announced that Trump's operatives put the sandbags on stage. That's right. Thanks, soldier. There was no hiding the last Joe trip. He put a hole in the floor. My God. Joe Biden knows in his heart that he is the only one that can truly defeat Ronald Reagan in the next direction. Thank you, Duck. He's absolutely right. Oh, man. So, you know, obviously the talk and the buzz today in a distraction is the debt ceiling issue. And the debt ceiling debacle, as I call it, yet another distraction that's being imposed on Americans. And you can start with a basic lesson in finance, okay? And if you're a businessman or woman out there, you know what the basic lesson is. If you're a head of household in the United States and you actually have a budget or try to be fiscally responsible, you run on a basic premise, a basic platform, and it's really elementary. And it's so elementary, I'm gonna spell it out. Okay. So if you're a businessman or woman and your intention is to open a business, you are told, okay, you have the knowledge that basic element of running a business is a function of your success or failure. Income minus expenses equals a profit or loss. Now, if you outspend your income on a regular basis, you run at a loss, and at some point in time, you will go out of business. At some point in time, when your expenses exceed your revenue, and you no longer can obtain any type of loans because you'll have to provide and show financial proof of those, of that, for that loan, you will simply run out of money, be in debt up to your eyeballs, you will have terminated your employees, and you will shut your doors. I remember my business partner stating, and I'll never forget this, he looked at me and he said, "You've got $5,000 in the bank. When you run out of that, simply turn the lights off, leave your key on the desk, and lock the door behind you." And it's like, whoa. Okay. So you have a challenge. Income minus expenses equals a profit or loss. Now, if you run at a profit and your business prospers, you could hire additional employees, which could continue to help your business grow, contribute to business growth, right? It contributes to economic prosperity. Businesses really invest by expansion. Government doesn't invest. Government spends taxpayer money. Irrespective of what slogans and cliches politicians of both sides of the aisle try to tell you, business invests. Government spends taxpayer money. They do not invest. But businesses invest by purchasing new equipment to run your business. Businesses invest by expanding workspace, by renting larger business spaces to operate one's business as you grow. Yes, you can grow out of a space. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to expand your place of business, provided, of course, you can still run your business at a profit and your expenses don't exceed your income. Businesses invest by increasing inventory, by buying inventory, which helps what? It helps the manufacturers. As you're buying more inventory, manufacturers have to produce more. As manufacturers produce more, they may need to hire more employees. They may need to expand by buying more equipment. My God, capitalism is so evil. The simple business equation, income minus expenses equals a profit or loss, is not a principle adopted by members of the United States Congress in both houses of Congress. Fiscal responsibility is not a function of the executive branch of government either. It seems like the slogan in Washington, D.C. is spend, spend, and more spending. That's the mindset, that's the mentality of a fiscally irresponsible government. That is a fiscally irresponsible U.S. government. The executive and legislative branches of government have betrayed the American people. The executive and legislative branches of government have violated their fiduciary and fiscal responsibilities and once again betrayed and failed the American people. They failed the American taxpayer. So the U.S. House, led by Kevin McCarthy, passed the debt ceiling bill 314 to 117. There's 221 Republicans. That means that at least 104 Republicans crossed. We know the destructive Democrat Party all loves the idea of raising the debt ceiling. And by the way, This isn't about raising the debt ceiling. This is about removing the debt ceiling. The United States Senate yesterday, last night, led by the anti-American majority leader Chuck Schumer, passed the debt ceiling bill 63-36. So if there's 48 Republicans in the House, in the Senate, that means 12 Republicans, at least 12 Republicans cross party lines. Surprising, right? Because you know that, except I think there was two U.S. senators on the Democrat side, two demented Democrats who did not vote for the bill. So Republican lawmakers of both houses signed on to eliminating the debt ceiling. And remember, this isn't about raising the debt ceiling. This is about eliminating the debt ceiling through January of 2025. Let's just kick the can down the road. And you know what? Let's endorse more spending. Because now the U.S. Congress has an unlimited checkbook. Usually, though, you know, if mom and dad, Mr. and Mrs. America, Mr. and Mrs. Family in America have a checkbook, and they go to pay for groceries, and they look and they see they have a balance of $180. They don't go to the grocery store and spend $320. They try to spend $170, maybe leave a little bit of a cushion, like $10. They may just go and spend $50 so they have enough in case they need gas for their vehicle, and they have to spend $50 for their gas to fill up their vehicle. But not the United States Congress. No, the United States Congress now has removed the debt ceiling. Oh, I'm sorry. They have passed a debt ceiling bill. You know, some news readers and news writers in the left-wing Democrat National Committee media, that would be ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, PBS, NPR. They had the audacity to whine that the Republicans, they're cutting everything. There's no room to cut anymore. That's, right? They made such dumb statements like there's no more cuts available. The GOP has cut to the bare bone. There are no more cuts. Really? That's absolutely false. That is an absolute lie. There are plenty places to cut. And that's an ignorant scare tactic by progressives. It's an ignorant scare tactic by socialists. It's an ignorant scare tactic by Marxists. There are no more cuts available. That's what the proclamation is to American citizens. There's no more cuts available. You're telling us you're spending $5 trillion, but you're taking in $4.1 trillion, and there's no place to cut. Okay, so you are disingenuous as a news writer. You're a liar as a news reader. Because at some point in time, you'd call members of Congress out. Okay, you want to cut spending? Here, let me give the ignorant, progressive, social, Marxist newsreader and newswriter just here. It's going to be less than 5 minutes, I'll take, of your time. Maybe even just 2 minutes, okay? So the National Park Service broke agency rules and sent $200 million to Nancy Pelosi's district. You want to cut spending? You can cut $200 million of wasteful spending sending to Nancy Pelosi's House district under the guise of U.S. parks. The total sent thus far is $325 million in 2 years. Wasteful spending to Nancy Pelosi's district under the national parks. But there's no place to cut wasteful spending of American taxpayer money. You just continue to grease Nancy Pelosi at the expense of the American taxpayer to show how fiscally irresponsible she's been her entire authoritarian political life. That's how she's rewarded in going out as Speaker of the House. But according to newsreaders in the progressive DNC news media, there are no places to cut. Hey, the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, Tuesday estimated that the bipartisan debt limit deal could reduce projected deficits by about $1.5 trillion over the next decade. Wow. Let that sink in for a second. We have a $31.4 trillion deficit in growing. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, said the bipartisan debt limit deal could reduce projected deficits by $1.5 trillion over the next decade. Now, for us old school individuals who learned arithmetic, learned math under the pre-CRT, we know that if you take $1.5 trillion over 10 years and you divide that, okay, that comes out to $150 billion a year in cuts. Now, $1.5 trillion sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? It certainly is. But over a decade, that's $150 billion a year they're going to cut. The income is $4.1 to $4.4 trillion. And you can only cut $150 billion a year for 10 years? Did we miss something here? Did we miss something? You mean to tell me that you could not find more than $150 billion in spending cuts a year? So let's just take a look at Nancy Pelosi, you know, being greased in her district to the tune of $200 million. Let's cut that. How about sending $38.3 billion to Ukraine? Just stop. No more money to Ukraine, including this last proposal, okay, by Dopey Joe of $38.3 billion. How about not sending $2.5 billion to the African Union as a payoff so that farmers in Africa don't manufacture fertilizer that farmers need to grow crops in order to feed the African people? Yes, Joe Biden and the European Union instructed the African Union not to have farmers or not to manufacture fertilizer in order for the African Union farmers to grow crops to feed their people. That is the most irresponsible, reckless, and evil thing to do under the guise of climate change. Oh, I'm sorry, under the guise of climate crisis. Because now the World Economic Forum and the New World Order, United Nations goal is to demonize and criminalize the small farmers. How evil is it? So we're sending $2.5 billion, a mere pittance, okay, to the African Union. We've already said the total now will be $11.3 billion, but $2.5 billion. So we cut $38.3 billion to Ukraine. We cut $2.5 billion to the African Union and just let the African Union take care of their people and allow them manufacture fertilizer to feed their people. So that's $40.8 billion right there. Biden and his anti-American handlers are sending another $300 million to Ukraine. Beautiful. How about eliminate $2.6 billion for advances in equity and equality globally, including $200 million for gender equity? Yeah, it's even hard to say, okay? But this radical movement, okay, to undermine human being sexes. And now, of course, the Marxists use the term equity and equality, and you know it's wasteful spending. It's pissing away American taxpayer money to the tune of $2.6 billion. So we've got $2.5 billion to the African Union, $38.3 billion to Ukraine, $300 million to Ukraine, $2.6 billion for advances, equity, and equality globally. How about we stop this nonsense with regards to forgiving student loan? This student loan forgiveness, this Marxist, this communist program that was put forth by Joe Biden and his radical anti-American handlers will cost the American taxpayer $400 billion. Now, I know I've been ranting a little bit here, but in less than 3 minutes, we've been able to cut $443.7 billion. Boom. $443.7 billion cut. That's $280 billion more than McCarthy and Schumer have put forth. $443.7 billion. And I'm not done. Because all you have to do next is eliminate the Biden executive offices, such as the climate office and the climate policy offices. Cut those two. I bet you save $100 million there per office. How much is it costing the American taxpayer for Lurch to fill up his Learjet to fly around the world and then give these asinine, ignorant, and destructive speeches such as telling farmers to stop growing crops, threatening farmers in the United States that we will confiscate your farms if you don't stop. That's not America. That's not American. That's not progress. We can cut immediately $450 billion. Not $150 billion a year, but $450 billion. You see, this is not serious in Washington, D.C. any longer. This is about abuse. This is about control. This is about power. Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania stated, trillions and trillions of dollars in debt for crumbs, for a pittance, every single thing. The chairman of the House Freedom Caucus during a press conference Tuesday. The speaker himself said on numerous occasions, the greatest threat to America is our debt, and now it's time to act. He later added, we had the time to act, and this deal fails completely. Ahead of the high-stakes vote, more than 30 Republicans went on the record saying they would not vote for the bill, with some encouraging their GOP colleagues to join them in opposition. I want to be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal. Not one, said Chip Roy, Republican of Texas. He said it during a press conference on Tuesday. If you're out there watching this, every one of my colleagues, I'm going to be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal. Well, Representative Roy, 100 Republicans voted for this deal. It's a bad deal, he added. Liberals, on the other hand, voiced concern with the size and scope of the spending cuts in the bill and the provisions included, and accused Republicans of holding the U.S. economy hostage by forcing cost-cutting provisions in conjunction with the debt limit hike. You know, this is how irrational the destructive Democrat Party truly is. And, you know, not to be outdone, the anti-American Democrat Party went into their victimhood mode and their blame game status to shamelessly blame racism, continuing to drive that racist wedge in America and continuing with their dumbing down of America. And the less than intelligent, the less than genius left-wing representative, Pramila Jayapal, a Democrat from Washington State, weighed in with her separatist, anti-American, racist commentary, you know, concerning the debt ceiling bill passage. This is what Pramila Jayapal had to say. we must be clear that this hostage taking is absolutely unacceptable, and there will be very real consequences for working people and poor people who will now be forced to resume crippling student debt payments. Predominantly black and brown women who will be kicked off of food assistance because they will be forced into working as they enter their senior years, and people everywhere will be forced to live with more environmental injustice, said the chairwoman of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, said in a statement after voting no on the bill. Now, it's amazing how the anti-American Democrats can use all the Marxist verbiage in one sentence, in one comment. I won't say sentence, in one paragraph. So we must be clear that this is hostage taking. Okay, so now it's hostage taking to cut spending. Now, you're a businessman in Seattle, Washington, and you live in Seattle proper, and the city of Seattle now mandates that you pay your employees $20 an hour, and you're a pizza joint, and you can't sell enough pizzas and enough Italian food in order to meet your expenses because you've had eight employees before this edict went into effect. And you're watching now as your savings has become your corporate savings has become depleted, and it's dropping, you know, dramatically. So unlike the federal government, now you lay off three employees and you're down to five, and that's still not enough. And you raise prices, and now you notice as a result of raising prices, the amount of customers coming in your store has reduced in your restaurant. So you now go from five employees to three employees, and you still are hemorrhaging cash, but not as bad. So now you go down to one employee, which is actually what happened in Seattle proper, because you're forced to pay a minimum of $20 per hour. You've raised your prices even higher to hopefully recoup some of the losses that you've had, and you can't. So you could do one of two things. You can take your restaurant that you've been located for 15 years and move out of the city proper, or simply close your doors. And so what did the business do? The restaurant moves out of city proper, so it doesn't have to pay $20 per hour. Now, the city of Seattle actually held and hold businesses hostage by mandating a $20 per hour minimum wage. That's really hostage taking. To say that you're going to cut spending is hostage taking is absolutely dishonest. And Pramila Jayapal is dishonest. It's absolutely unacceptable, and that there will be very real consequences for working people and poor people. Before I read the rest of that, think about this. How has it been the last 869 days with regards to being unacceptable how working people, how poor people, how middle-class people have had to spend more at the grocery store, 30, 40, 50% more? What are the real consequences of this radical anti-American, anti-energy policy that was put into place immediately by the destructive Democrat Party, by the destructive Joe Biden and his handlers, taking America off of energy independence? What were the real consequences to working people when America was intentionally taken off of energy independence and forced to pay the highest rate for oil, for gas at the pump? What are the consequences? And in New England states, that utility costs have risen 67%, in some cases have risen 100%, What are the consequences, the real consequences to working people? And Jayapal, Representative Jayapal, is pissing and moaning about being fiscally responsible in the United States government and cutting expenses. And slowing the rate of spending taxpayer money. How fiscally irresponsible is it for Jayapal and every member of the Uniparty of Washington, D.C. to not have passed a budget? How fiscally irresponsible, and what are the real consequences of Jayapal and our fellow Uniparty members not passing a budget in the United States House of Representatives? So Jayapal's complete sentence here is there will be very real consequences for working people and poor people who will now be forced to resume crippling student debt payments. You know what? It's not the taxpayer's responsibility to pay someone's debt. The progressives, the Uniparty, the government has programmed children in the United States that they must go to college. There's no other alternative. Really? How the hell did we make it in life? By not going to college, by not getting a college degree. The progressive movement has indoctrinated children that they must go to college. So these kids go to college after graduating high school and they incur this debt. Whose fault is it? It's not the taxpayer's fault. How about going after the universities and colleges for raising tuition in such a fashion? I don't see Pocahontas Warren, Elizabeth Warren, giving back any of her $150,000 to $250,000 stipend from Harvard University to keep her on staff. And Harvard continues to raise their tuition. But Representative Pramila Jayapal doesn't talk about that injustice. So now the American taxpayer is obligated to pay for crippling student debt? Well, maybe Jayapal and the Uniparty should start going after colleges and universities around the country and tell them to lower their tuition rates. Because if you're mandating high school graduates to go to college and then amassing $120,000 in debt, why is it the obligation of the American taxpayer to the tune of $400 billion or more? Because you know, when the government estimates $400 billion, it's probably more like $700 billion. Why is it incumbent upon U.S. taxpayers to foot the bill? You don't have to go to college. Matter of fact, you can get a job. Matter of fact, you can go into the United States military. Matter of fact, you can live in your parents' basement. Matter of fact, if you get a job, you can go to trade school. You can get a job in landscaping, as Holger's going to do. I mean, why is it incumbent upon the American taxpayer now to feel obligated to pay for crippling student debt? And you notice how Jayapal, okay, wants to tug at that heartstring. And then, of course, she has to get racist and say predominantly black and brown women who will be kicked off food assistance because they will be forced into working. Holy shit. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that you're forced into working? Oh, my God. That is so un-American. I mean, can you imagine getting a job? Imagine feeling the pride earning a living, irrespective of your race, creed, or color. My God, what is Jayapal must be just outraged. She's incensed that people have to work. So if you're earning a living and you're no longer dependent upon taxpayers for your existence, you have a sense of self-worth. But members of the United States Congress, irrespective of their party affiliation, They want you to be a victim. They want us to be a victim. Some people enjoy working, actually. They don't want to stop at that magic number of 65 or 60 or 62. Some people have taken personal responsibility and have the means to continue their retirement after age 65. Others enjoy it. I know people have retired and they have part-time jobs and they're working. Seems like they're working even more than they were when they were working full-time, and they're enjoying it. Well, I mean, you can't live off of Social Security. And then, of course, the ignorant Pramila Jayapal brings in environmental injustice. People everywhere who will be forced to live with more environmental injustice. How about that for a bag of shit? Okay? That is an absolutely dishonest that's an irrelevant statement. That statement makes absolutely no sense. Yet another meaningless cliche by the Washington, D.C. political institution. More environmental injustice. Absolute garbage statement. But I wouldn't expect anything less from the destructive Democrat Party. Nothing less from the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. These are the scare tactics they're employing on the American people. Wow, the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. continues to show how fiscally irresponsible they are. The debt ceiling bill is not a debt ceiling bill. It removes the debt ceiling for 2 years. And God forbid any more left-wing Marxists are elected to Congress. They will continue to spend, and more spending. Joe Biden is fiscally irresponsible, but you know who's more dangerous? Are his handlers. Because they've adopted Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. In the top eight of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals is to create unsustainable debt. And it's exactly what Washington, D.C. has done. Our government, Democrats, Republicans, Uniparty, Independents, have created a mess and intentionally have done so. And as iGuy says, all by design. And lastly, Richard Stern of the Heritage Foundation summed it up really brilliantly, okay, with regards to the Treasury. He said that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said America will default in mid-May. That was what she was crying about. She was whining about that. And then all of a sudden, no, by June 1st. And then it was, no, by June the 5th. This is how hysterical, you know, they made it. Of course, this is exactly what the left wing wants, chaos. But it turns out that revenues the Treasury has been taking in are sufficient to pay the bills. And furthermore, on June 15th, corporate quarterly tax filings are due. And guess what? The Treasury receives even more money. So it wasn't incumbent upon the U.S. House and U.S. Senate to pass something immediately. It was a scare tactic. And Janet Yellen applied those scare tactics. You know, I think it's incumbent upon the American people to contact your representative and your senators and let them know you're not happy about this. You're not happy what's going on right now with regards to fiscal irresponsibility. And if they really wanted, if they in Congress really wanted to do something impactful, they would sit down and they would craft a budget. They are not living within their means. And you've got Joe Biden and his handlers think they have a credit card. They think it's an American Express black card that they can spend endlessly. And this fear-mongering, like Jayapal of Washington, Representative Jayapal of Washington is employing, is disgraceful. It's disgusting. It's un-American. But this is what Marxists do. This is what Marxists have been doing. And they're employing a Marxist agenda to create unsustainable debt. And it's the mission of these anti-American movement to dismember and dismantle our constitutional republic. And we are not going to allow that. The real injustice are the 435 members of Congress who can't pass a damn budget while the American people are scripting and scraping every freaking day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end of the show. It's a quick hour. Tomorrow night, right here on Global Patriot Radio, we've got Minister Simon Dukduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent discussion. Check out his show. Monday, Alan Isle back with the Mama Mia No Sharia show at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And Wednesday, we got Hank Jones and Polly Sports at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Please keep our good friend Sue from New Mexico and G-Ski in your prayers. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and our great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett, are coming up next right here on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Southern Sense Talk Radio. If you want a break from an apolitical show, please check out the Simone Nicole Show every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. Joshua does a great job, and he always asks, have you exercise today? Every freaking day I get up and I hear that little phrase in my head and it drives me crazy. Thursday, you got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Joe Gibson, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. Folks, thank you all for joining me today. And let's hold our elected officials accountable. And I know it seems like a big task, but we can do it. I want to thank Joshua. I want to thank Sue from New Mexico. iGuy, nice to see you. Ducky Northwest, Holger, thank you. And I want to thank everybody out there in podcast land. You all be safe out there. If you're traveling, please be safe in your travels this week. God bless you all. God bless America. Ciao for now, folks.
Yes,
it was
my way.
How's that for a serenade, Joshua? Have a great evening, everyone, or a great day. Great weekend. Be safe out there. Thank you all. Ciao.